Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name. You know, in order for the word to bring life to your spirit, you've got to hear it and you've got to read it. I mean, that's just how it has to happen. You have to hear it somewhere, or you have to read it to get it in your spirit. You know, God is looking to strengthen the church. You know, we know just on the times of events and things that are happening that we're living in the last days, if you want to say. You know, and I know we've been hearing it for a long time, the last days. It is the last days, people. It is. Now, the last days to God might be another 100 years. I don't see it, but the last days are upon us. And we need to do everything we can to consume that word and get it in our spirit and get it in our hearts and get it in our lives. We have to do it. We have to put some kind of effort in to get what we need out of that word so that God can show us things in that word so we can consume it, so it can become alive to us. You see, God says in the last days that even the elect, even the church itself, if they're not into that word and know it, could be swayed from the truth of the gospel if we don't know and have our faith firmly founded in Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross. You see, we have to be firmly planted in that word. We got to know that word. We got to consume that word. We got to get it in us, people. We need to think of it as something that is very important to us as Christians. That it becomes alive to us. That it is a part of our life. That it brings life to us and it keeps us focused on what we're doing and where God wants to bring the church in the last days. See, God says to preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Herald the gospel forth and wherever we are, because he's coming one day. We know he's coming and we got to beware. We got to be ready for that, when that trumpet sounds, that we're ready for the call of the gospel. And we also, as we are ready, that our families are ready to receive him also. And he's calling for churches. He's raising up ministries and churches that will lift up families, that will pray, that will pray, that will pray and seek God and call these people into the kingdom of God. Because you see, it's evil forces out there that are minding them from knowing the truth. And even the enemy, they'll try to come in and snatch people away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we pray, we lift up the praises of our God, the power of Almighty God. It's like this. You know, when God brought out the children of Israel, it's an amazing thing. How there was a pillar of fire at night that kept them warm. Now, this is not talking about 10 people. This is not talking about 20 people or 100 or 1,000. Millions of people came out of it. Not just Israelites, but some Egyptians. That God would pull a pillar of fire above them and would keep them warm at night. What kind of God does that for his people? That's the kind of God that loves his people. And during the day, when that sun would come out in full force of strength on that desert and could scorch anything that was upon it, and as his people would walk in sandals and robes and trying to cover themselves, he put clouds there. That's the love of God. Look, just as we're praying for our families in the last days, God is going to take care God is going to usher in the end, a sweeping that will come in the last days. God will pour out His Spirit, as it says in Joel. We've got to be ready. We've got to be willing to pay the price. We've got to be willing to get up and pray and seek the face of God. We've got to be ready to get up and seek Him and say, Lord, move. Lord, move. Lord, move, because we love our families and friends and the community, Lord. Lord, bring them to their senses. Put a yearning in their hearts for the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, I know many of you, God has woken you up, even myself, and you turn back over to sleep. Well, it's like, Lord, I need to sleep. No talk. I know it. Or just during the day, God puts an unction on your heart to pray. There's reasons why. There's reasons why. There's a battle going on. We know we've won, people. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. We've won. But we want to take everybody we can to the winning battle. We want to take everybody we can into the portals of heaven. We want to take everyone we can into the gates of glory. We want to take everyone we can into the power and the presence of Almighty God, where we bow before Him, prostrate before Him, bow ourselves before Him. Because He is the King. My God, He is the Lord. He is our God. He is our Savior. Praise God Almighty. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. Don't get distracted by the things of the world. There's a lot of stuff that likes to get us distracted. And once distracted, we get off course. We're trying to, you know that song, Jesus take the wheel, Jesus take the wheel, because we need to get back on track. And get back on track. Don't get distorted. Don't get distracted with the things of the world. The world will tell you too busy to pray. The world will tell you too busy to get in that word. The world will tell you, look, don't worry about those things. It's not really truth. And question the faith of the Almighty God in you and our faith. But let's put our faith in Christ and say, Lord, I will be a faithful steward. I will be a faithful son. I will be a faithful daughter. Help me to do the things you've called me to. We have more power and more potential in us, and God knows it, than what we know, than what we think we have. And the devil knows. Because you see, every one of us that I know of in here has been saved by Almighty God. And the power of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior lives inside of us. Ooh. Lives inside of us. The resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. Dwells in you is the power of Almighty God. That we shouldn't take lightly. He's given us authority. He's given us power. And we got to walk in the presence of our God. Oh, hallelujah. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. We walk in that precious power and resurrection power. Let God be God in your heart and in your life. Don't roll over and let the devil steal from you. Don't roll over. Don't play dead. I know it'd be easy sometimes. Sometimes we get a little frustrated. Nobody gets frustrated? Hands went up. You didn't have to raise your hand. But I understand. Sometimes we get frustrated. Sometimes we get angry. Sometimes we get mad. We don't know what to do. But let me tell you, this is what you do. You sit down and you say, Lord, I don't know what's going on unless you would show me. But Father, I put my faith and my trust in you. And let's get the job done. Let's get the job done that He wants for each and every one of us. You know, in a couple of weeks, it's going to be what? Easter Sunday. Resurrection Sunday. Where the whole world stops to recognize that our Savior was born, well, if you want to say it that way, but also resurrected. Now, they may not believe it, but we have the empty grave. They may not believe it, we have the word, written word also. They may not believe it, but we have the Holy Spirit here. raining and moving upon the earth because of the resurrection power of Jesus being resurrected. Now today, that's all extra stuff. We talk a little bit. You're talking a little bit just the chronological order of events, of things that happened before we get to the 21st, which is Easter or Resurrection Sunday. But we're going to read some scripture talking about resurrection and what Christ did, what happened. Because you see, if we don't get that in our hearts, and if we don't believe it and we don't see it, the world will never. You see, our Savior, there's a difference between every other God, if you want to say a little g out there, than our God, the big G. There's a difference. He died for us. And the difference is he resurrected from the grave. No other God, if you want to say it that way, has ever done that from the beginning of time of humanity till today, 2019. No other. There will be no other. Because there was only one that had the resurrection power in him when they killed him and when he rose from the grave and conquered the enemy and won back or took back the keys of heaven and hell for our sake. That's the power of Almighty God. The resurrection power that lives inside of us dwells in God's people today. That's the power of Almighty God. You know, have you ever been... You know, talking with somebody and you just feel the power of the resurrection power on the inside of you, the power of Almighty God. That's the Holy Spirit just turning and turning some things on the inside of you. Have you ever been reading the gospel? And all of a sudden, something jumps out at you and you feel a stirring in your spirit. That's the power of Almighty God. Have you ever been praying and all of a sudden you feel something on the inside? That's the resurrection power on the inside of you saying, keep on going on, keep on praying, keep on seeking me, keep on doing what God wants you to do, because I'm about to move upon a situation that will change. See, let me tell you this. Jesus Christ didn't die on the cross just so we'd have a church. Jesus didn't die on the cross just so people could get together and talk about it, which is good. Jesus didn't die on the cross just for people to gather and just to have a holiday to celebrate. And all those things are important. But I tell you what, Jesus died on the cross for people, for the resurrection power of Almighty God. That when it says that when my people shall call upon my name and accept me as their Lord and Savior, that he will come in and live on the inside of them. That's the power of Almighty God. I want you to turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 26. Talking about tithing earlier, do what God says. Matthew 26, starting with verse 47. What the devil does is try to destroy the wealth of the church, one thing, the great church called by God. He tries to destroy businesses. He tries to destroy whatever so that people can't give what needs to be given for the furtherance of the gospel. But let me tell you, that's about to break. God is going to open up businesses for you guys. God's going to use, some of you might have a business, and God said, he said, expand it. He said, to give more than ever before. Your jobs are going to be jobs that just are outstanding. Wealth will come into your hands. For the latter days, not for us to use so much, but for the latter in revival that is coming. Because there are things that this church needs that God is going to put upon your heart to give towards because of the wealth that is in your home and in your families. give. And let me tell you, God will bless you beyond measure because you can never outgive God. It seems like the more you give, the more He gives you. Because there are things that are going to be needed that God has to look upon the church to give it to. And when the church doesn't give it, it lacks in those areas. But God can raise up. But I tell you what, God is going to bless your business beyond measure. Just keep giving. Just keep giving. I know it may look like almost zero, but let me tell you, don't worry about the zero. God can put a number in front of that zero to make it look like not zero, but a whole lot more than that. See, that's the kind of God we serve. Look to Him. Look to Him. Look to Him. Look to Him. Let Him move upon those situations. Matthew chapter 26. It says, "And while He yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves, and the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave him a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scripture be fulfilled, that thus it must be? Here we see the story. You know, a lot of people say, you know, the Lenten time or the Lenten season, you know, the winds, the Lenten winds, they call it, you know, very forceful winds and stuff. Just a reminder, before we close, remind me to pray for us today, because we do have bad weather coming, okay? We want to pray for all of our homes and stuff. But we know the Lenten winds, they come, and we also know in other religions, they call Lenten time, you know, in which they give up maybe something or whatever to try to get closer to God and whatever else, you know. But, you know, we as Christians, born-again Christians, we don't give up anything because we gave Him everything. There's a difference. We don't give up anything because we gave Him everything. We gave Him our lives and everything we have, so there's nothing else to give up, but it takes the Holy Spirit to continue to work in our hearts and in our lives. So here we have, we're in the Easter season, you know, where in a few weeks we will talk about the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. But here we see something that happened. Here we see where, you know, we know Satan enters Judas's heart and betrays Jesus. Go back to the first verse, please. I want to read that again, if you would. It says, "And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12 came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves, and from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he had betrayed him, gave him a sign, saying, Whosoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast, and therefore he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kiss me." Here we see Judas. We know Judas was one of the 12. We know Judas was, you know, saw miracles by Jesus. We know Judas touched Jesus. I know Judas, probably Jesus touched Judas. And sure, at times Jesus would take them one-on-one and share things with each and every one of them. You know, as a great pastor, he was to these 12, where he would help them and support them and be with them. And, you know, they just followed Jesus. And some followed closer than others, you know. But they saw many, many miracles, many things happen. And here we see Judas, that Satan in Luke, and so himself, it says that he moved, that Satan entered into the heart of Judas. Now let's read that scripture in Luke 22, verse 3. Because I don't want you to think, oh, Pastor, you're making that up. No, no. Look at verse 3 of 22. It says, then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. Here we see Judas, like I said earlier, was a man that saw many things. But Satan was working on Judas. We don't know that maybe the last final straw that got Judas to say to the scribes and Pharisees and all these religious people, yes, I will betray my Lord. Or I will betray the Master. Or I will betray my Pastor. Or I will betray the King of Kings. But it says that finally the devil entered into the heart. That's not a good scripture. I mean, I'm glad it's there for us to know, but that's not a good scripture to be written about anybody. You know, we like scriptures where, you know, Jesus went around and people were saved and filled with the Holy Spirit and all kinds of stuff happened, healings and, you know, all that. And Jesus, they came and bowed at the feet of Jesus and they received him as Lord and Savior. But I don't like to read where Satan finally got the foothold he needed in Judas's heart, or Judas Iscariot's heart. I wonder how long he teetered on the edge of going with God, of Jesus, or following the ways of the world. How long did he do that for? You see, many people today that want a little bit of God, but also they want the things of the world too. God says there has to be a separation. Separate. There has to be a separation of those things. And I wonder that Judas never got to the place where he was totally separated from the things of the world. You know, as far as, I'm not saying not living in the world. What I'm saying is doing the things of the world. Living like the world. Partying like the world. Doing the evil like the world. Those things. That finally he tipped over to the side of where Satan entered his heart. And where he received or made a covenant, if you want to say, with the Pharisees and Sadducees that they would give him money if he would just show them, you know, who it was. It's an amazing thing when somebody comes to you, you know, family and friend, you know, you haven't seen a family member for a long time, or a friend, or even not just that, or a couple, you know, you go and you hug each other, you know, you might kiss on the cheek or whatever, you know, just out of love for that person. If ever anybody comes up to you and kisses you and then they are your worst enemy, when they something's wrong. You know what I'm saying? But that's what happened with Judas. Judas said, I will show you who the Messiah is by giving him a kiss on the cheek. And we know Jesus because he knew everything. He knew Judas would be coming down the... And I wonder if Satan tried to get into every one of the hearts of all 12 of them. You know what I'm saying? I mean, did he start out working on Judas? Or did he start with working on another one, you know, John? Or did he start working on another disciple and trying to get a foothold in their heart that they would turn their hearts and their backs upon Jesus Christ? You see, we know that today. You see, old Slewfoot tries to do everything he can to destroy God's church. Satan will do everything he can to try to destroy you as an individual, you as a person, you as a Christian. He will do whatever it takes. But you see, if we don't recognize that it's the enemy and we don't know how to stop it, a door becomes open and he just walks in. And so the devil, I think, honestly, he tried to work on each and every one of them. But he got a foothold in the door of Judas's life. And he came into Jesus. And he said, as they were coming, he went up to him. Gave him a kiss, probably on both sides. And they're looking, and he's saying, that's him. That's him. A betrayal kiss by a former student. A betrayal kiss by a supposedly disciple of Jesus Christ. Don't you think that hurt Jesus? He was 100% man, but yet 100% God. That he would have one of his own, and he knew it. With the Last Supper, he knew. But to turn their hearts. People, we know this. God knows how it feels. Jesus knows how it feels because they're one. When somebody turns their back on them. We know how it is when we care about somebody and love them and they turn their backs on us. Like somebody who murdered or something. They know how, he knows how it feels, we know how it feels. But Christ said this in Hebrews 13:5. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And even when they came in, and he betrayed Jesus with that kiss, and the procedure was about to start for him being put to death. There's a lot in that situation. Jesus still looked at Judas with love. Now, that's a lot for us to learn. Because we know how it is when people betray us or when people go another way and they don't do it, maybe they say they're going to get hurt. We get hurt by people, don't we? Okay. But also, God says we got to forgive and we forgive. But also God says, you don't have to carry that hurt anymore because I'm with you. Hebrews 13:5, for I will never leave thee, that's the middle part of it, or forsake. I will be with you, my God. You see, that's how Jesus came to put on that cross. He knew his Father was with him. And in the one time when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? That was a hard statement because his Father was turning. Because he couldn't see what his son was about to take. For no reason of his own. But we know this. Our God cares about us. Our God loves us. Our God cares about us. And let me tell you. Jesus had God the Father and God the Son had a plan before the foundations of the earth about Jesus coming. And dying upon the cross for us. It just wasn't something he came up with 2,000 years ago. Before the foundations of the earth were even formed, he knew he would make mankind. He knew mankind would sin. He knew that. He knew mankind would turn their backs upon him. But also, he made a plan. He said, I know what I will do for you. And he made a plan before we were even created. That he would send his son. And he knew his son would say yes and go and do what needed to be done to bring us back into full relationship to the Father. Because we know he never forsakes us. He never leaves us. He's always there for us. That's the kind of God we serve. That will bless us. That will move upon us. That will help us. Even angels try to stop maybe a little bit. But you see, God knew the only plan that had to happen was that Jesus had to die. The blood had to be shed for us to have that resurrection life.